These days, you've been facilitating the Public Safety Commission's Drug Task Force. So that was a group that has set out to study drug abuse in Haines and make recommendations for solutions to the problem. So what prompted the creation of this group?
I think, well, the Assembly, I think, at some point said that there's a problem. It may have been a chronic issue that came up a lot in the community. And I think that they decided that somebody needed to do something, and because it doesn't fall under one roof. It is not a police issue. It's not a school issue. It's not a health issue. It is not a criminal justice issue. It is all those things and more. So they said, you know, we need to get together and see what we can do. So I think the Assembly said, then where do we put it? And they had a series of discussions about that, and then they decided at that time that they would put it under the Public Safety Commission because health and well-being and sort of the safety of the community was paramount. So it came there. They then formed a separate group, a task force that was much more larger than just the five members of the Public Safety Commission. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've had one meeting so far in late October, and we've started the process now.
Nice. So who all is involved?
In the Public Safety Commission?
In the Drug Task Force specifically.
Gosh. Yeah, I think the roster I have, the email I just sent out here a week or so ago was there are 20 different individuals. We anticipate also inviting the public more. But everything from the Pastoral Ministerial Association to the police to Lynn Canal to the clinic there at Search. Just all over the community. We have the recovery community involved in it as well. There's about 20 different groups. Schools, of course. But it was we did a quick thought about who out there does, in terms of just people who might know, in terms of contact, who deal with this issue one way or the other. Schools deal with it. The police deals with it. The clinics work with it. The Lynn Canal works with it. The recovery community works with it. Pastors work with it. We grouped together lists of community agencies that we thought would have an idea and might have some solutions also, because one of the ideas is to know what the problem is, where we are now, but also once we have a better grasp how we can work together, it's forming that secondary gain of saying, these folks worked together, came up with an idea what the problems are, and came up with some ideas of how we might work together differently or just form a better approach doing some things to improve the conditions here.
You know, it seems there is right now not a clear picture of what substance abuse looks like in Haines and kind of the impact it has had on the community. Why do you think that is?
That's true in most places, frankly. And in a sense, it's in a way just reflecting on what I was commenting on, because the police see it a way. And they may have a big issue with it. And over here, you have another agency that's not talking with the police department. It has big problems. They may be similar or different. And over here, you may have kids, let's say, in school that are having problems. But because we don't talk together, we may experience things, but we don't experience them together. Once we meet and go, we may have lots of common grounds and common issues. But I think it's basically the fact that people, it's not unusual for us, any community or any large group of people, not to know exactly what the issues are. And I think there's some wisdom in taking this approach, and that we all get on the same sheet of music and identify the issues, see where we can work together, and come up with a plan to do something a little bit better to improve this situation here in the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the first part of your plan is to collect data. So what kind of data are you using, and what are you looking for exactly?
Sure. We haven't collected the data yet. We have a deadline to do that, but I'll go back to your question. I'll give you some examples. In the clinic, how many clinic treatment room, what most people think of as the emergency room, how many visits are there every year that are drug-related? And then are they one guy doing 50% of them, or one gal doing 25% of them? Or what's the total? And so just basically, what's the data there at the clinic? Same thing with outpatient. How many of our outpatient encounters are based on an alcohol or drug-related issue? In the police department, they have a good data set that they can extract. The schools have a behavioral risk factor kind of questionnaire that's done every couple of years that I think is kind of interesting in that it not only talks about self-disclose, this is how many kids do A, B, or C, this drug, that drug, or the other, who have ever or currently used, but they also have attitudes. And I think their approach is that's rich data to know what's the attitudes. Certainly in the recovery community, AA and NA, those kinds of things, there would be people that say, hey, I've been in recovery for 10 years. I've noticed an increase in interest, an increase in participation in NA, for example. So that'll give us a little information. Gee, the opioid issue, the narcotic side may be growing a little bit more. By us just finding out what is our data set, not having any preconceived notions and taking a look at what we have helps us to say, we didn't know that. This is new, and this is what we agree that we can do something about initially, maybe secondarily and down the road. But here's what the problem is, and it seems to be common, and let's see what we can do.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Lynn Canal Voice, a public affairs show brought to you by the KHNS Newsroom. Today we're speaking with Patrick Heffley about a task force that was created to examine drug abuse in the Hainesboro. So it sounds like there's kind of these separate data sets from a lot of different groups that interact with problems related to drug abuse. Has there ever been any effort in the past to look at these data sets together or kind of paint a picture of drug abuse in Haines?
Not to my knowledge. When I talked with Deborah Schnabel about this, she actually said it's been challenging in the past to do that. There's no single authority here. See, if you live in some areas where there's a, quote, a drug like this, a drug task force, well, people are meeting together over maybe 10 years and they have collected data together. But I think the formation of the drug task force is typically what communities will – it is the means by which most communities will start doing what you just described, to collect information and just share it. Otherwise, you're busy in doing what you do at the police department. You're busy doing what you do at the clinic, and you have information, but you don't get called on to be a participant in something larger that's perhaps more powerful once we – speak and can define things and work together. Mm-hmm. But it's not unusual.
Mm-hmm. And then in terms of, you know, the information that is available in Haines and going through this collection process, what are some of the advantages and disadvantages of looking at this information in a community like Haines?
Some of the advantages are certainly it gives us it opens our eyes from darkness to some level of light. Because we just ask people to present data, I don't know what that data is going to look like. I don't have any idea what people will say yet. You know, we don't know. So I don't know what the disadvantages might be. I can provide some ideas. But I think just – but the advantages are to get the consistency and find if we have similar issues and where there's more need for more information. So there's some advantages to get the process started. Some of the advantages, again, would be let's say we identify three areas and we see a high volume of A, B, and C. Well, if we do work on areas A, B, and C, 3 years later, we have data. We started with this kind of a problem. We've done some work for 3 years, let's say, and we now have metrics, the outcome of what we've done, and it says you're doing a good job, or you might want to try something different. So the data has that advantage, both to be able to establish what the problems are, but also to, if you do something, to see if you've done a good job or not. Mm-hmm. So those are the advantages. The disadvantages are is that it takes a long time. It takes a while to put together this information. It'll never, because we weren't asked to do this 10 years ago, and here's our report. We weren't looking ahead. I may collect data at the clinic when I was there, and nobody else may collect any of that data. And in any way, it'll be hard to tie unrelated data together in some ways. Some of it also will be hard, and some of it will be 1 year only. In other words, we don't know if this is true or it's going up or down. We just know what it is if we collect 1 year's worth of data. So we can't look at trends. That's a disadvantage. Finally, I suppose, is the level of effort that people have to do to get this information together. That's a disadvantage for those agencies, that it takes quite a bit of time. I think that the data system, this approach is probably the most challenging, because people often want to do something right away. Let's do something. I think that if we do that, we tend to flounder. We tend to think, okay, did we hit the right problem? Do we even know if we did? Did we not address something else? And I think that people want to do a good job on this. I think people really want to put their heart and their mind and behind something. So some of the disadvantages, again, are just that it's hard to get compiled. It's hard to analyze it. It's hard to know whether is this a 1 year thing? We don't have enough information about kids. What will that mean? Mm-hmm. It can be confusing, but yet I think if we just keep our head on our shoulders and say, what's common sense telling us here that we'll be fine? Mm-hmm. And we may agree to collect data over time, which will improve the data collection. You just have to start someplace.
So, it seemed that everyone who attended the first drug task force meeting agreed that Haynes had a problem with substance abuse, but not everyone in the community would agree, or at least not everyone would agree that it's a problem that needs more resources allocated to resolve. So one example that was raised at the meeting was the proposal to purchase a drug sniffing dog that was rejected by the assembly. So why do you think the community's divided on this issue?
I describe it this way. There's let's get ready, let's look at stuff, let's carefully aim what we want to do, and let's implement the ready, aim, fire. Let's implement, fire. Let's do the right thing. Sometimes the firing part, and I'm not using just this drug dog thing, it's just an example. Any issue that is, you don't really go through the process where people are on the same sheet of music, that there's maybe data, or that it's well presented, there's that side of the equation. Then there's just personal opinions. I mean, people have opinions, and that's okay. That's fine. There may or may not be agreement that that's the best way of doing something. Flipping that around, though, I think that this particular approach we're taking may show that, for example, when we look at all the issues that, and it's part of a bigger review of the community, and if we find that drugs that are illegal are the biggest problem, and if that's agreed to by many people, then it becomes a little easier to understand why interdiction using a dog might be an appropriate approach. We haven't gone and digested that, perhaps. If there is a difficulty over that topic, I think it may be because we haven't digested it in a frame of thinking that feels more comprehensive, and it may be subjected to more of the opinion or side at times. No matter what, there will be people who will agree or disagree with just about anything, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Lynn Canal Voice, a public affairs show brought to you by the KHNS Newsroom. We're speaking with Patrick Heffley, who has been facilitating a drug task force to examine the issue of drug abuse in the Haynesboro. And so how, once you've got all this information and you're starting to look at recommendations and things like that, I guess, how do you measure the severity of the problem of drug abuse? If it only affects, say, for example, it only affects a few people, but it's completely ruining their lives, then, how do you measure the severity of that problem? Is it a matter of scale, or is it a matter of how badly it affects people?
Again, a complex question. I'll see if I can focus on at least a couple elements to it. Let me flip it around to begin with. Even though drugs and alcohol abuse in this community may affect a few people, let's call it a few, I would venture to guess that it would be rare to find many families or friends of any individual who has not seen this in some way and it's had an effect on them. So it's, even though it may, and we know it's more than just a few, but even if it is a few, if it has a devastating effect then on many, then it's a problem for all. Even though, quote, the issue may be within a smaller subgroup, it has profound impact on others. And kids, if only dad has a problem, well, it affects mom, it affects daughter, it affects sons, it affects friends, it affects their development, and it affects their being able to be okay in school, which may affect other kids. So it tends to be a little stickier than just the one person. Mm-hmm. It's like other things like that that also are pervasive, that you have to really go to the root cause and see if you can get people who, the source of this may be that person just is in a lot of pain, is self-medicating. If that person can get some help, then they're better, mom's better, kids are better, the schools are better. It touches many, even though one could argue that it's just touching dad in that scenario.
Mm-hmm. And what about if it's the opposite, maybe in the course of this data collection, you find that there's a lot of alcoholism or drug abuse, but you're not seeing exactly what the impact of that is, or you're finding that even though it is widespread, the crime or health and safety issues are not spiking. How do you deal with a problem like that?
Let's say that Haynes is below state average in all the issues we've been talking about. Maybe there's a lower rate of opioid use. Maybe there's a lower rate of arrests. Maybe there's a lower rate. Does that mean it's okay? Does that mean it's okay? I think that there's a second that we can say, look at these issues and say, look at how far we are above. And we can look at these issues and say, we're same or no worse than other communities. The primary question you have to ask is, what do we want? And I think the goal that I got, the heartbeat of what I got from this mission is, let's have a healthier community. Now, whether we're 30% above or right on average, we still want a healthier community. And in fact, some people argue, you better do it now than when it gets worse. So I think that there's that sense that if our goal is not to come down to average, that's worthy of discussion. And I think that's part of the deliberation that'll happen when the data comes out. Whether we're above or below or right at, I think ultimately people saying, look, our goal is not as narrow as just reducing our community down to X rate. It may be larger. We just want a healthier, safer community. Any deaths, any tragedies, any accident, any family, they live here. They are our neighbors, they deliver our fuel, they give us our groceries, they are whatever. We are connected. And to the degree that there is pain and suffering and darkness, let's see if we can turn the tables a bit and allow the community to heal and to perhaps be a healthier place for all of us.
And so tell me about the timeline for this task force. What are kind of the steps in what amount of time are you thinking?
Well, we have no assigned time frame, to my best of my knowledge. We have not been assigned. Come in with 2 weeks and tell us what to do. I do not believe we've been given that task. In terms of the chunks, the first is the storming, and then the forming and the norming. The storm is to get people together, to get them on same sheet of music, for us to start working together to collect the data. And then from the data comes, what can we do? And then what can we do? And we make those recommendations to the back to the assembly. So the steps then are data collection, data analysis in a sense, forming from the storm to the form, forming some creative approaches that we can do things differently. That may be working together differently. It may be getting some more money in from other sources into the community. And we formed and we're actively trying to do something to improve this situation. And then the norming is, gosh, this is normal. We do this. We work together. We've normalized the process. The community is healthier. What's the next issue we want to work on? So you've gone from a storming phase to a forming phase to more norming phases.
Well, we've been speaking with Patrick Heffley. He serves on the Borough's Public Safety Commission and is currently facilitating the Public Safety Commission's Drug Task Force. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for the questions and the time.